In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
You know, I think I'd like to sing another song, get my boys on top of it if they can. Maybe Step Into the Water would be a good song. We're going to step out. I'm going to preach out on something this morning that, if you'll bear with me and my voice a little bit, something I guess I'll call it, for lack of a better title. Sometimes the titles are pretty good. This one's just a mediocre title, I suppose. Social Evils and the Book of Proverbs. But before we step out, let's sing the song, Step Into the Water. Shall we stand?
Let us step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Have no fear to tread where the saints all cross. Step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Join with us and sing to the Lamb of God. It is time we, the people, stand up for what is right. It is time we squared our shoulders back and raised our swords to fight. Jesus is our commander, and the Spirit is our shield. The church needs more of the faithful to be soldiers in the field. Let us step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Have no fear to tread where the saints all trod. Let us step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Join with us and sing to the Lamb of God. There is no place for question, for victory is assured. There is no place in our swelling ranks left without His holy word. There has been a prize appointed for men who persevere. And as for me and for my house, friend, the way ahead is clear. Let us step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Have no fear to tread where the saints all trod. Step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Join with us and sing to the Lamb of God.
Amen. You may be seated, and we'll get started. We'll get started by going to Proverbs chapter 1. Title of the message, Social Evils and Proverbs. We'll start with verse 26. And We'll bring that up on the screen. I'm going to attack an evil. There it is. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. And we'll pause there a moment. And if you think of God as the personification of wisdom, and then you look at that scripture, you'll see that when calamity comes upon us, and it's coming, difficulties and trials, and we start crying out to God, what's it say? I'll laugh at you. Ooh, that doesn't seem like the kind of God I want to hear about. I just read to you from the Word of God, and that's what the Word of God says. Well, why? Why the laughter? Well, if we go to verse 29 of that same chapter, it says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and shall be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacencies of fools shall destroy them. Is there no hope? Nope. Well, there's no reason. There's no wonder people don't come to your church, preacher. No hope. For most, perhaps for you. Because the gospel is for a few. In verse 33 of that same chapter, it says, but he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Well, who is this me? Now, you might think what I read is God. I said if this represents, if God is the personification of wisdom, which he is, but when you read Proverbs chapter 1, I remember in Bible college, and I think they taught me right, that this is what you call in Scripture a personification. And it's wisdom speaking. And it's wisdom personified. And wisdom saying that when it comes on you, I'm going to laugh at you, I'm going to mock you, because you wouldn't receive wisdom and knowledge. The gospel is for a few. And for the few, we read Matthew 7, starting with verse 13. In Matthew 7, of course, we're still in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaks this way. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. I want everyone to say the word so you kind of get it soaked into them, to the gray matter. Say the word destruction. Destruction. Pastor Peters, I want to say love. I want to say peace. I want to say tranquility. No, say destruction. Destruction. Because that's what the Word of God says. It says it again. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We'll stop there. Emphasizing the thing about destruction, I'll give you an illustration. Now, I was doing a teaching in another lesson to a group of people who were new and novice, you might say, to the Word of God. And I started out, I want to give that scripture, but I started out by greeting them and telling them what we all like to hear. We're all children of God. God loves us. And I introduced myself and so forth and so on. And as I went on in the teaching, then I went to this scripture, and then I let them know why it was so important to have the Word of God in their life, and why Acts 17:11 says those in Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, because they received the Word of God with great eagerness, examining the Word to see whether or not what was said was so. And I said, so the Word says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. And I said, I want you to know that I already have lied to you. Now, I lied to you on purpose to teach you a lesson. And I did it right off the bat, and nobody noticed. I said to you, we're all God's children. And that is an absolute lie. But I just snuck it in there so fast, and we all love to hear it. How could it be when I read in the Word of God that it says that Jesus said, we might go over to, I think it's John 8:44. When Jesus said it so clearly, I think this is the verse that he said it in. He said this, you are of your father the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Well, now, how can we all be God's children when God is speaking to some out there and he says, you are the children of the devil? You've got to beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, the true prophets call a spade a spade. And the other day, Richard and I were in a, I don't know if you remember this, Richard, but we were in a health food store. I had to pick up something. And the owner's son come in. I suspect, I would guess him to be in his 20s, wouldn't you? Maybe 30. It might have been his 40s. I don't know how old he was. But I don't even know what made him say this. We were saying something about, you know, I need this or need that. And the guy come in and said, what we need is a good strip joint and some good whiskey. And he laughed. And he said, I said, yeah, and you'll burn in hell, too. And he didn't know how to take that. And he kind of laughed. And I said, I'll tell you something else. You won't be laughing in hell, either. It'll be mighty hot for you. I said something like, that's true, isn't it? I'm not making it up. Because I know somebody say, he wouldn't say that. No, I said it. What'd he say?
I said, yeah, he would.
And you know, it got quiet in there, and the old boy just slipped out. Well, it's no wonder you don't have a mega church, Pastor Peters. We got a mega church. God's got a mega church. He's got people out there just want the truth. And they'll find it. And the truth is that broad way leads to destruction. And I venture to say that that boy was probably public school educated. Probably college educated. The gospel is the good news. The good news, though, is for the few. For the few that will believe it, receive it, believe it, and obey it. For the others, let's go to Proverbs 2:21-22. And then after that, we'll go to Proverbs 3:25-26. The message is social evils and Proverbs. It says, for the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. The reason I wanted to read that is because I gave you a little bad news there about how wisdom personified will laugh at those in the land when trouble comes. And those that are on the other side, and you can identify them pretty easy if you start thinking. It doesn't really hurt to think. When you got people that will not mention tares, children of the devil, Jesus Christ, the law of God, you've got somebody that's still on the other side. And I still marvel how many of you are being taken in by these wolves in sheep's clothing that are saying, you know, we got to get back to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. How do you think you got here? Let me tell you. By the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's how you got here. We got to get back to God. That's where we got to get back to. And we got to get back to the Word of God. And as long as you keep your children in public school, they'll never have the Word of God in their life, because we have laws that say you got to keep this out of our schools. Now, you talk about naivety and simplicity and foolishness. And then we expect our children to have wisdom. Come on. We read again. I want you to know there's hope. The Lord has made it very clear as we go over to Proverbs 3:25 and 26. There will be some that remain here, and it won't be the wicked. The wicked want you to think it's all going to be them that stay and we're going to leave. No, it says, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is due in your power to do it. We'll stop there. And from there, we're going to go to Proverbs 3, starting with verse 5. Because in this section of Scripture, from Proverbs 3, 5 through 13, you will see what Jesus was trying to get you to see, that there are the wicked out there. But I want you to see that when this calamity comes in the land, wisdom personified will laugh, but for those that have gone after wisdom and knowledge, we'll make it through one way or the other. But it's the wicked that get cut off. But this passage, as I recall, teaches us very clearly what we got in the way wicked. We reap. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Of course, Pastor Peters, why are you teaching that? Our children are taught that all the time in public school every day. And certainly at the universities, they're taught to fear the Lord and to turn away from evil, aren't they? You know, there are children today that have gone through what we call the educational process, and they've never heard that in their life. And on top of that, they've even gone to church, and they've never been told to fear God and to turn away from evil. Let's go on. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. You want to know why we got a lot of sickness in this land? You might think of it in light of that. We go on. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father, the son in whom He delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Oh, let's read that again. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and it's gained than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. So, when you're trying to find wisdom, part of finding wisdom is finding out where wisdom is not. And it's about time that we find out where wisdom is not found. It is not found in the public fool systems of America today. Because you cannot have the Word of God in the school system today. You have preachers that might preach a little bit from the Word of God, but if you have a teacher that were to teach from the Word of God, they wouldn't have a teaching position. In fact, there have been rulings against teachers that have brought Bibles and set them on their school desk. Did you know that? They can't even do that. And we take our tax dollars, they take it from us, and we pay for these schoolings, and we send our children to a place where they cannot learn the fear of God. And so what we have taking place in our land today, we find ourselves today in a predicament, the same predicament that our forefathers found themselves in. And I don't think I wrote the scripture down. It's in, I think it's in the book of, I'm trying to think where it's at. Let's see if we can find it real fast. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. We go to Nehemiah chapter 9, and we find that this pretty well describes where we're at today. Starting with verse 36. Nehemiah 9:36. Behold, we are slaves today, and as to the land which thou didst give to our fathers to eat of its fruit and its bounty, behold, we are slaves on it. And its abundant produce is for the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. They also rule over our bodies and over our cattle as they please, so we are in great distress. Now because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing. And on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, Levites, and our priests. Well, enough said there. Let's say how we got there by going to Exodus chapter 1. Well, I don't understand, Pastor Peters. We're not slaves today. Thank God I'm an American. Or at least I know I'm free. Well, you've been to public school, haven't you? You've been to the university, haven't you? And you've learned the lyrics that they've taught you. And I started putting this together, and I decided I had something entirely different planned, but I tell you, just like the Holy Spirit said, no, I want this. There's some social evils I want you to address. And I began to get my understanding of this back about 40 years ago. Actually, a little more than that. But some of what I'm going to tell you is like closing the barn door after the horses are out. But bear with me, and I think you'll see it fit together. We are slaves today because of wisdom. The wisdom of our enemy. Yes, there are two separate types of enemies in Scripture. There is an enemy out there that is willing to enslave, and they are wicked. We read about that enemy, and there's nothing new under the sun. They did it to our forefathers in Egypt, and we read in Exodus chapter 1. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, I want you to notice, he was speaking to his people. And I want God's people to know there are God's people, and then there are other people. And I want you to know that we're not all God's people. Now, if you don't like that, go find a church, and there's plenty of them that'll teach you that if you like your lies. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and these people were just like that. Now, when you study this thing, you'll find they weren't even Egyptians that we're talking about here. They were actually, according to Isaiah 52, 1 through 4 there, the scripture calls them the Assyrian. But we've been there before, but they did there what they have done here in our government. They took over the government there in Egypt. Now go back to that scripture. It says, and he said to his people, behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and in the event of war, they also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land. Let me tell you something. There will be a day. Why? Because I pray. I pray for that day when God's people will so hate the devil and his people. And he said to his people, we got to be careful. They might join together with others and hate us.
Well, why would anybody hate them, Pastor Peters?
Oh, I don't know. They just got them throwing their babies in the River Nile. They're just enslaving them. Where they children have no future. The best they could do is make bricks and gather more straw if they can even find a job doing that. Does anybody care out there for our children's future right now? We've got a serious problem. They don't have a future. Unless somebody starts preaching and teaching and caring and praying and going beyond this nonsense that we have for this patriot movement out there, and we get to the root of the matter, which has to do with sin and has to do with which God we're going to follow and has to do with which laws are going to rule in this land. It has to do with spiritual warfare. There's a whole bunch of things, and those things aren't being taught, certainly. Not being taught in the public school system, not being taught in the university. I am very pleased to tell you that it pleases me that every now and then the university right here locally will send some of their children in here. Normally it's from a sociology class. The last sociology teacher sent it in was by the name of Berg. Now, the weekend before, this church was graffitied. I suspect the ones that graffitied it were the two students that came the next weekend from their sociology class. And yes, Pastor Peters was cordial to them, talked with them, even prayed with them, he did. Because I don't always know who's who. But I did tell them to tell their sociology teacher that I said she's a snake. Tell her I told her she's a snake. Well, how would you know? First of all, her name is Berg. How would you know she's a snake? Because I've been through the university scene, and I know what slithers into those sociology departments. And they came here to do another report on this church. When you have a church that will stand up against evil, evil will come back at it. And it shouldn't be... The question should not be, why have you been persecuted? The question should be, why isn't the church that you attend, the church of your choice, persecuted? And when you stand against evil, and let me tell you, one of the biggest social evils we have in the country today are universities. Now, this preacher has stood up, he graduated from there for one thing. I've been through the scene. But I stood up against that outfit clear back in the early 80s when they started coming when I'd heard about, I couldn't believe it. Back in the 80s, I heard that they had a thing called Gay Awareness Week. And back in the 80s, I put an ad in the paper, what gays better be aware of. And ever since, that outfit over there knows that this little church here knows. And so I decided... There are some things I want you to know. They have dealt very wisely with us. They know what it says in Hosea 1:6, and we're going to go there and then Proverbs 1:3-4. They know how to destroy a people. And the way you destroy a people, it says, Is this Hosea 1:6? If I could read my writing, I would have said 4:6. Let's try 4:6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, also I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children." Our children have been forgotten. That's what's happened to our children. And it says in Proverbs 1:3-4. We're still on the subject of how they did it. It says, "To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion." Do you think the universities give our youth knowledge and discretion? Absolutely not. The Bible says clearly that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. I suspect that old boy that stuck his tail between his legs and went out the door after I told him hell was going to be hot is probably college educated. But the sadness, you know him, so he is. The sad thing is that no one's telling these children. No one's telling them that the broad way leads to destruction. And it grieves a person that cares. I'll forget your children. I was a child once. You're a child until you're 20, whether you like it or not. One of the sad things we have in this land is an 18-year-old voting. Well, if they're old enough to fight, they're old enough to vote. Well, they're not old enough to fight at 18. They like them at 18 because they'll do whatever you tell them. But God's rules on warfare was they were to be 20. Because there's something that happens. You might look pretty mature. As a girl, your breasts are developed at 18. As a boy, you can get some good biceps. But right up here where it counts is still maturing. And something happens between 18 and 20. And that's why God understands. But when I was a boy, a teenager, back in the 60s, and I put it all together now, how they were dealing wisely. And I decided I wanted to put it out. Some of you might remember this. But there was a propaganda push like you wouldn't believe for the baby boomers. You gotta go to college. You remember that, Paul? You gotta go to college. If you're gonna get ahead, you gotta go to college. And what they were doing is they were confusing things. They were equating going to college with getting an education. Don't get me wrong, you got to get an education. But the point was, you gotta go to college. So then you had this immense amount of propaganda. I remember the superintendent of our school and the principal of our school coming in, writing on the blackboard the average wage that a high school earner makes, somebody that doesn't go to high school makes, how much somebody makes as a bachelor of science and masters and a doctor's, and it's all higher and higher. And what they're doing is they're teaching you the whoredom of Babylon. Now, the system that we have today is described in Scripture in Revelation 18 as the great harlot, or depending what translation you have, the whore of Babylon. Well, it's all about bucks, first of all. Well, I went to college because it's about bucks. I'm just like anybody else. I want to get ahead in life. And so I went off to college. Didn't know what I wanted to be. How do you know what you want to be when you're 18? I don't know. Some 18-year-olds got it figured out. Well, I'll take pre-vet medicine. Wouldn't mind being a vet. I studied hard, and I'm glad I did, because the first 2 years of my life, they can't really mess you up much. by teaching you the sciences. You have the mathematics, you got the biology, you got the chemistry, you got the physics. It's a hard course. But I wasn't able to get into vet school. But by that time, I'd matured, and by that time, I started to figure the system out. And by that time, I was 20. And I figured out that I'd been hoodwinked, so to speak. But I was figuring I was too far in, and I had to go ahead and finish this thing. And so another way they got you going to college, not only was it through the propaganda, but I can remember my father was like any father, and like fathers should be today. A lot of them aren't. A lot of children don't even have fathers anymore. But they want to see their children. What are they going to do for a living? And he was reading Omaha World Herald, and there were all kinds of ads for jobs. But every one of them would say a college education required. College education. Now, I want you to think about something. I like to make people think. We got all kinds of laws that you can't discriminate. You can't put an ad in the paper and say no homosexuals allowed to apply for the job. Or you can't discriminate on color. You can't discriminate on race. You can't discriminate on sex. Why don't we have laws against the employer that says you can't discriminate, and if you require a college education, we'll sue you? That would have stopped it right then and there. But these were bogus ads to get people to send their kids to college. This was the baby boomer generation. Then on top of that, they gave us a war. They were telling us this war was to stop communism. Boy, we sure stopped it real good, didn't we? We got a Marxist red Muslim black abomination in our government today. But they had the Vietnam War. What did that do? It forced a whole bunch to college, because you got out of the war if you went to college in those days. Then on top of that, it wasn't hard to go to college. Well, I don't have any money to go to college. The loans were so easy to get. You could get a loan so easy. There were just all kinds of aids and incentives to get you to college. Why? Because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And there, you did not get an education. There, you were programmed. Because when I got there and I started changing majors around, I had to start taking these courses, such as psychology and sociology. And by that time, I was mature enough to know that they were lies. In one class, they taught me that this was a democracy. You can't find the term democracy anywhere in the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Pledge of Allegiance, the whole works. In another class, they taught me about a guy by the name of Darwin. And he figured out if you studied rats, you could apply what rats do to people. And I can remember raising my hand and saying, I disagree with that. Well, why? Because I think there's a difference between people and rats. So I know what's there in the university. It's for programming. But what they really do is they teach you how to whore yourself. So by this time, I'm educating myself on certain things, and I'm learning things, and I'm figuring out that I've been tricked here, but I'm going to get that degree. I remember my senior year. Another thing that they do is this. When you try to change and change majors, they have made it so difficult that you've got to spend more time at the university. Well, this doesn't fit, these credits don't fit for a major over here. And you got to do this and that. And in the last year, I was taking like 22, 23 credits a quarter just to try to meet their requirements to get out of there. Well, why do they do that? I'll tell you why they do that. Because those snake professors, they not only have themselves tenure, but they're going to make sure they got themselves business. And they make sure that you can't, it's not that easy to change around, so you got to stay another year, and that's just a little more business for them. That's just the way it is. I remember in one class, my last year, it was my last class in economics, and it was an Oriental fellow that was teaching it. I can remember very clearly, he wrote on the blackboard the name Walt Rostow. And he very braggadociously said, do you know who he is? and he told us he was one of his instructors. I kept my mouth shut. I didn't know who he was because he was a declared security risk by the FBI back in those days. He was an advisor to Nixon. And he was a declared security risk as a commie. But I kept my mouth shut because I knew it was why I had to have that course to get the diploma. And I had a job. I did have a job waiting for me that required me to have it. So then it was had to do with the Federal Reserve System. And I remember very clearly putting down on the test what he expected in the way of answers that I knew was a lie. Then it occurred to me, more after the fact, to be truthful with you, what they were teaching me was to whore myself. To give the system what they want so I can get what I want. Doesn't that fit the definition of the whore of Babylon? Well, I got my degree and I got out of there, but I understood the Federal Reserve. I want you to understand something about the Federal Reserve and the hard times that are coming on you right now. There's not hardly a graduate from any university today that understands the money system. And it's very easy to understand. In the Depression of the 30s, everyone was still willing to work. We still had natural resources that were there that could be worked. But suddenly everybody was poor. Why? The money supply had dried up. And they did it very easily. They played on our greed. Back in the 20s, the stock market was going up, up, and up. There were books being written about how you could retire by the age of 30 by investing in the stock market. And it just kept going up. And one of the things that people started doing was borrowing money and buying stock. And you'd make more money on the stock going up than you would on the interest you had to pay the banker. And a lot of times the banker, well, people would put their houses up for mortgage, whatever. They would leverage it, that type of thing. And as long as everyone's buying stock, the stock market prices do what? They go up. But they were signing demand notes. And then when the bankers were ready, when those that deal wisely with us, that enslave us, they know what they're doing. It's like a cow. If you want to get milk out of the udder, you pull down and squeeze on the udder, and then you got to let up and let it fill up again, and then you squeeze again, you see. Now it was time to put on the squeeze. The people had signed the demand notes, and the bank started calling in the notes. All right. So what was happening? The money supply was diminishing because you had to pay off your bank notes. So if you're going to pay off your bank notes, what are you going to do with your stock? You're going to sell it. And when everyone starts selling their stock, what happens to the stock market prices? They crash. But very quietly, men like the Bush family and the Kennedys and others, they quietly got out of the stock market before the crash. And then when the crash happened, they had all the bucks and they bought up the industries for pennies on the dollar. And the next thing you know, people were out of work. They couldn't find jobs. It wasn't they couldn't work. It wasn't there weren't resources. There just was no money. Now, right now, you're coming into a second phase of what the bankers are doing. And that is the commercial real estate. There's going to be a lot of it coming on the market and selling. Why? Because they can't get their loans refinanced. Why all of a sudden? Well, the bankers aren't loaning right now. Why? Because they are those that you better be praying for their debt. They have come to deal wisely to enslave us. And it's part of the milking. When you see all these buildings being built, a lot of them not being occupied, it's because they were making loans to do it, and then when they foreclose, they get real value. And people are finding themselves out of work with degrees, not just bachelor's, master's, and doctorates, and they're happy to get a stocking shelves at Walmart. And so when they lose their job, what do? I think we'd better go back to school and get trained. You tell me there's not a spell in this land? When I graduated, I remember very clearly when I graduated from that university. Now, don't get me wrong. You need an education. Now, I got a very good education in Bible college. It was a small Bible college. I'm very thankful for it. Wouldn't be preaching today if I hadn't got it. But I remember when I graduated from the university that nobody could get jobs. They made it sound like jobs were just waiting for you. Once you got that degree, you just take your pick. And the university, the man that was giving the speech, I remember clear back then thinking, you know, we've been scammed all the way. Now, seeds of immorality are planted too. I remember in 1968, they took, and I don't know where the parents were. I don't know why the people weren't in an uprage. I was married at the time, had a wife. And one child at that time. But they took the dorms over here in the university and made them co-ed. Now, I grew up in a dormitory situation, spent 4 years in a boys' dorm in high school. And it wasn't reform school. It was a step before reform school. But for some of them... But anyway, but there was a girls' dorm and there was a boys' dorm. And I want to tell you something. If you wanted to get kicked out of school, just get caught in the girls' dorm. That was it. If and buts, there was no answer, you were out. Nobody went in the girls' dorm but girls. And here they put girls and boys in the same dorm. They do that now, don't they? And nobody said a word. What do you think they were doing? They understood what they were doing. Let's go to Proverbs 1, verse 6. These that delight in evil are addressed here. This is a scripture I wanted. Proverbs 1, 6. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles... The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Now, I want to tell you something. That's exactly what happened in the university scene. They taught you differently than your parents taught you. A whole different value system. We read on. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, we shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless. Well, I think we'll stop there. We'll stop there. And, let's read on right where we're at. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. The point I wanted to make here, and I feel led to this. What are you thinking? You people that take your little lambs, you raise them in home school, and I've seen this happen time after time, and you send them off to a university. No covering,
particularly girls, sending girls there. What are you thinking? You're sending little lambs into a wolf's den. They might, this thing of wolves disguised in sheep's clothing fit professionally. They will not teach your children Christian values. They will not teach the wisdom of God's word. And the reason you do it, because you want your children to get ahead in life. And you will destroy not only their life here, but their life hereafter by doing that. There are other ways to get your children ahead in life. But you are going to destroy your children's lives if you take your little lambs and send them into the universities today. And I felt Spirit-led to say that. Because I have been seeing people do that. Oh, you become an attorney or you become a doctor. We want you to get ahead. You got to get an educate. You're like a bunch of parrots. You've heard it repeated. Now you repeat it. And there's hardly a preacher in the land that is exposing these whorehouses we call universities today. And that's what they are. And I hope they hear me well over there. One time they sent a little girl over here. No, she had a class assignment. She came with her dad. Remember that? Anybody was here there? We still got that on video somewhere, don't we? We videoed it. I had the camera turned on. She was going to be influenced. And her dad was with her, and she wanted to interview me right afterwards. I don't talk to journalists anymore because I learned the hard way. You don't throw your pearls to swine. But I decided to teach her a lesson or two. And I said, okay, you want an interview? And so I started talking to her. Because, see, they like to take a blonde girl and stick before the camera and for her to read the script to give the news that they want you to hear. We're dealing with a very crafty enemy that said, come, let us deal wisely with them and enslave them. They taught us to be wage slaves. My father and his generation thought it would be for his children to get a good job with a corporation so they have a good job. They didn't realize a corporation is immoral, has no morals whatsoever. And they take the best years of your life, and when they're ready to discard you, they discard you. Well, they'll do the same thing with a girl when she's pretty and she can sit in front of a camera and do her journalistic work. And so I forget how the conversation went, but before it was over, I had her in tears. Remember that? And her dad said, I said, now take it easy with her. I wasn't unkind. I was just making her face certain things she was saying. So, well, you don't know this, do you? Where'd you hear this at? You know, this and that. And take it easy. Well, let me tell you something. They're training her not to take easy. They're training her to go out there, and when they say sick 'em, I've had those reporters on me, and they'll try to destroy you with their slander, their lies, their twists, their key words, the whole works. I did her a favor. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You got your sport, you got your glamour, and you got your fun, and you got your world, and you got the acceptance. But you are going to face God someday. And you send your children where there is no fear of God, there's no wisdom of God taught. They learn how to be the little social creatures that they want them to be. And they still have an eternity to face. And I felt Spirit-led to tell you that that's a social evil. Now, I'm running out of time. There are some other social evils that I do want to address, and maybe I can address it real fast, such as Proverbs. See if I can find it real fast, because you'll get this there at the university. And these young people, they know that the fires burn heavy in a young person in adolescence. It's chapter 2. In verse 14, we read rapidly, who delight in doing evil, there are people that do that, and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, that's what wisdom does, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to the death and her tracks to the dead. None who go to her reach, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. When they want to remove you from the land, they get our young people involved in fornication. And that scripture is addressing that. It's a social evil in our land. It's a social evil, and our children are not being told that God will judge the fornicator. There are sins you'll never recover from. And you protect your lambs from that, and you put them in an environment where there's girls and boys in the same dorm, and you are so dumb. I can't even describe how dumb you are. You want your children to get ahead? Yeah. Well, you teach them to be good. They might get ahead in that Babylonian system, but the system's going down. And when she's all done and the dust flies up, it's going to be the righteous that are still standing. And we'll rebuild this system. And there's something else I want to address. It's found over in 1 Peter 4:3. The Proverbs address that. I don't have a lot of time left. I only have a few minutes. First, social evil and Proverbs. Stay away from any place that doesn't educate using the Word of God, the fear of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is King, and that takes away the public universities. Number two, immorality. Nobody telling that boy, yeah, you might think some strip joint and good whiskey's good. You'll burn in hell for it. But number three, what is number three? Bring the scripture. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Notice that right along with drunkenness, all drinking parties. And I've come to see that I can tell you a whole story about alcohol and what they did in Prohibition, and we don't have time. It's a whole nother sermon sometime. But I want you to know this, that our young people today are so weak and so undisciplined, stand to see an adult drink a glass of wine or a beer. Because I have seen these people get involved in the drinking parties. You want to get ahead, meet with the boys and have the beers. And have a good day's work today. Yeah, over here. You know, next thing you know, you are playing with fire. And God says, stay away from this stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to preach it as right as I know how. It doesn't say that you cannot have a drink of wine or a drink of beer. It condemns drinking parties, and the truth of the matter is, I don't want anybody drinking a beer or a wine anywhere near Branson when we have our gathering, because I have come to see that some of the young people are so undisciplined and so stupid that the next thing you know, they're drinking. And you better stop it, because broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there's a lot of people get sucked into that, into drugs. I don't have enough time to get that. Three things, public schools, immorality, and the booze and the drugs. Stay away from it. I warned you. You still love me? May Christ bless those of you that are His. Bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lift His countenance upon you and grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We're adjourned.
Got the guts to tell the truth.